You're listening to audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where we train students to preach the Word and reach the world. For more free resources like this one, visit www.swbts.edu/media resources.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you, orchestra. Thank you, music ministry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Amen. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to a man that I love, admire, and to one I thank God that God has allowed to be a part of my life. Dr. Patterson, thank you, sir, for this wonderful and exciting privilege that you've given this street preacher from the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, Louisiana, to be here today to be a part of this chapel, to support and encourage you. Thank you, Mr. Patterson. Thank you so very much. You've been a dear friend through the years. Thank both of you for your support, your friendship, your counsel, and your prayers for me all of these years. And I just thank God that God has allowed our paths to cross one more time. One of the things that Dr. Patterson did not mention, Dr. Patterson, the hat Elizabeth has on, when I preached here right after Hurricane Katrina, we lost everything. And on my way home, you put an envelope in my hand and say, give this to Elizabeth to get her a new hat. That's the hat she bought from that donation. I want you to know that came from you. Amen. Amen. To the faculty, the staff, all the students here at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Pastor Turner, good to see you, and others. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity to be here with you on today. Turn your Bibles with this morning, Book of Philippians chapter 2, as we share today in the Word of God. The Book of Philippians chapter 2. You're being taught at one of the best seminaries in the world. You're being instructed at one of the best seminaries in the world. And Dr. Patterson, they didn't pay me to say that. That's the truth. Here at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, you are being equipped with everything that each and every one of you need to be successful in your field of ministry. Let me say that again. Here at this school, you are being equipped with everything you need to be successful in your field of ministry. As a matter of fact, the only thing, brothers, the only thing, ladies, the only thing, brothers and sisters, that can stop you, that can prevent you from reaching your full potential for God is you. The only thing that can stop you with all the knowledge, with all the expertise, with all the training, with all the instruction that you get, that you're getting at this school, the only thing that can stop you from reaching your full potential for God in the months and the years ahead in ministry is you. I want to talk about that this morning from a very familiar passage of scripture, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 of that chapter. If you have it, please say amen. As a matter of fact, you say amen all throughout my sermon. I'm kind of used to it if y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? I know I got an amen right here with Pastor Turner. Y'all make me feel like I'm at home, all right? Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, you'll find these words. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Our Father and our God, Master, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful and exciting privilege that you've given us to be here this morning at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Thank you for the invitation, Dr. Patterson. Thank you for the faculty, the staff, and the students. Now, God bless this time of preaching. As always, Master, let me decrease as you increase. Father, let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ. Therefore, God, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. I'll be so very careful to give your name all the praise, the glory, and the honor, that you may be glorified, the saints of God may be edified, Satan may be horrified, and lost sinners will come to repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. And first, I say, let the people of God respond by saying amen. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. With that text in mind, I want to preach this morning from the subject, the importance of having a renewed mind. The importance of having a renewed mind. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not an hour that goes by. There's not a day that goes by. There's not a week that goes by. There's not a month that goes by in the life of a believer. Dr. Patterson, in the life of a child of God. That's turning the life of a born-again Christian, where your mind is not being tempted, where your mind is not being enticed, where your mind is not being lured by our enemy, by our adversary, by our tormentor, by Satan, the devil, by Lucifer. Whether it's something you're watching on TV, the situation in Snooki on Jersey Snore, whether it's the Housewives of Atlanta, the Housewives of Beverly Hills, or what, some other something you're watching on TV, whether something you're watching at the movie, something you're looking at on the internet, or some other venue that you'll find in this life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a day that goes by, not an hour that goes by, not a week that goes by where your mind is not being tempted, enticed, and lured by the enemy. That's why Peter admonishes. That's why Peter warns us. That's why Peter alerts us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because, officer, your adversary, the devil, Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may destroy, seeking whom he may defeat. Not an hour goes by, not a day goes by, Dr. Ross, not a week, Dr. Smith, not a month goes by where our enemy, our adversary, our tormentor has not put in the mind of a born-again Christian, in the mind of a child of God, in the mind of a believer, something we know we should not do, but something we know we should not watch, but stuff we know we should not say, but I promise you, before the 60 minutes of that hour has passed, before the 24 hours of that day has passed, before the 7 days of that week has passed, before the 4 weeks of that month has passed, some way, somehow, we find ourselves being seduced by the enemy, being enticed by the enemy, being lured by the enemy, being bamboozled by the enemy, for the younger folk in the house, being pumped by the enemy. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, one of the things that I've discovered, Pastor Turner, one thing I've discovered, Dr. Patterson, the one thing I've realized, ladies and gentlemen, is that none of us are exempt from the tempting tactics of the enemy. From the pulpit to the door, from the balcony to the floor, none of us are exempt. None of us are exempt from the attacks of the enemy. None of us are exempt from the schemes of the enemy. None of us are exempt from the temptations of the enemy. It doesn't matter your marital status. You can be single, saved, and satisfied. You are not exempt. You can be married and marvelous or married and miserable. You are not exempt. You can be widowed and wonderful. You are not exempt. It doesn't matter your marital status. It doesn't matter your position in the church. You are not exempt. You can be a praying preacher, an engaging elder, a devoted deacon, a terrific trustee, a committed choir member, a magnificent musician, a useful usher, a gracious greeter, a marvelous member. It does not matter. You are not exempt. Does not matter your marital status. Does not matter your position in the church. It does not matter your age. You can be a cute child, a tender teenager, in your tempting 20s, your tantalizing 30s, your firm 40s, your fabulous 50s, your soaring 60s, your serene 70s, your elegant 80s, or your nostalgic 90s. It doesn't matter your age. None of us are exempt. Doesn't matter your marital status. Doesn't matter your position in the church. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your race. Doesn't matter your education. You can be a freshman, a sophomore, a junior, a senior in graduate school. Doesn't matter your vocation. You are not exempt. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter how long you've been baptized. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the fact of the matter is that the enemy will do all he can to attack the mind of the sons and daughters of God. The enemy will do all that he can, Dr. Smith, Dr. Ross, to come against the children of God. But don't just take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Search the word of God for yourself. Think about it. Satan got to the mind of Adam and Eve and they ate of the forbidden fruit. Satan got to the mind of Abraham and Sarah and they lied about their marital status. Satan got to the mind of Cain and he murdered his own brother Abel. Satan got to the mind of Noah and he got drunk and naked in front of his kids. Satan got to the mind of Jacob and he deceived his own daddy Isaac. Satan got to the mind of David and he committed adultery with Bathsheba. Yeah, she was fine. Yes, she was a brick house. She had back and was backing it up and shaking it fast and all of that. But he got to the mind. That was for the younger folk in the house. Yeah, they got it. They got it. Look at it. She said, they got it. Satan got to the mind of Amnon, and he raped his own sister Tamar. Satan got to the mind of Judas, and he betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Satan got to the mind of Peter, and he denied Jesus Christ. Satan got to the mind of the prodigal son, and the Bible says he wasted his inheritance on wild parties and hoochie mamas. I'm sorry, I thought I was at home. Wild parties and righteous. I can say hoochie mamas at Franklin Avenue, but I'm in Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Wild parties. And ladies and gentlemen, the list goes on and on and on. And our enemy, Dr. Patterson, did not stop in the Bible. Our enemy, ladies and gentlemen, did not stop in the scriptures. I dare to say, sitting right here this morning in this chapel, right here this morning in this beautiful, beautiful chapel, right here this morning are men and women, husbands and wives, singles and seniors, teenagers and teachers, members and guests, preachers and pastors, professors and students, whose mind has been attacked by the enemy, whose mind has been enticed by the enemy, whose mind has been seduced by the enemy, whose mind has been lured, bamboozled, and tempted by the enemy. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, the question of the hour is, how can we as believers stand in the midst of these attacks? How can we as sons and daughters of God be victorious in our walk with God after we leave this chapel, after we leave this seminary, after we've been equipped to do what God has called us to do in ministry? How can we pull this thing off called victorious Christian living? Well, let me answer my own question. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you must have a renewed mind. Hence the subject of the sermon this morning, the importance of having a renewed mind. That's the point that the Apostle Paul is making to the church at Philippi. All of that was my introduction, Dr. Smith, by the way. I'm getting to the text right now. Paul is stating that if the believer is going to win, professors, if the believer is going to pull this thing off, if we as sons and daughters of God are going to be able to stand and be lights in the dark world and salt in low sodium saltless society, then there are three things, there are three reasons why every believer must have a renewed mind. First of all, number one, a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. The word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. A renewed mind, brothers, a renewed mind, sisters, should help you think about your Christ. You see, my friend, before you give into those tempting tactics of the enemy, before we give into those seductions of the enemy, before you give into those attacks and temptations of the enemy, a renewed mind will help you think about your Christ. In other words, Sister Patterson, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, think about it. He was born of a virgin just for you and for me. He was lied on and talked about just for you and for me. He was betrayed and beaten just for you and for me. He was denied and demeaned just for you and for me. Awkwardly, he was spit on and mocked just for you and for me. He was pushed and shoved, stripped and teased, abused and misused just for you and for me. Think about it. He left his mighty throne in glory to come down church to give us the redemption story. Oh, brothers and sisters, oh, ladies and gentlemen, a renewed mind should help you think about your Christ and all that he did for you and all that he did for me. Oh, yes, it should. Think about it. He brought salvation for you and for me. He brought redemption for you and for me. He brought sanctification for you and for me. He brought justification for you and for me. He brought regeneration for you and for me. He loved us. He saved us. He lived for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. And one day he's coming back again just for you and for me. Oh, think about it. Even though he was fully God, even though he was fully God, he became fully man and gave his life for you and for you and for you and for me. How can you not want to win for him? How can you not want to stand for him? How can you not want to be victorious for him? How can you not want to be faithful to him? How can you not want to live for him? That's why when I think, Dr. Patterson, when I think about the goodness of Jesus, all that he's done for me, my soul shouts, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But then there's another reason why it's important to have a renewed mind. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, not only does a renewed mind helps you think about your Christ, but secondly, a renewed mind helps you think about your choices. A renewed mind not only helps you think about your Christ, but a renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Look at verse 7 of Philippians 2. But made himself
of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Think about this. Jesus Southwestern did not allow his heavenly reputation to affect his earthly responsibilities. He made himself of no reputation. Even though he was a king, he chose to become a bondservant. Even though he was fully God, he chose to become a fully man. Even though he was deity, he decided to die. Even though he was God the Son, every choice he made in life was to please God the Father. And that's why we must have the mind of Christ. That's why Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Because even though we are born again, even though we are saved, even though we are redeemed, even though we have the freedom to make our own choices and make our own decisions, ladies and gentlemen, however, we must be sure that all of our choices and all of our decisions please our Heavenly Father. If you're going to be victorious in your walk, in your ministry, in your life, in your marriage, you got to make sure that every decision, every choice you make pleases your Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. Everything he did while he lived on this earth was to please his Heavenly Father. Remember when he was tempted by the devil after fasting 40 days and 40 nights? The Bible said that the enemy came to him and said, Jesus, you know you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Remember what he said? Do you have some Krispy Kreme donuts in that bag? No, he didn't say that. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you're going to be concerned about your choices and please God about your church, then you must need to know what God says about our churches. For God says a lot about our churches. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Don't lean to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge God and he shall direct thy path. Psalms 37 and 3 said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalms 37 and 4 said, delight thyself also in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. It's all about choices. Psalms 37 and 5 say, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Psalms 118 and 8 say, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 say, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore choose life that both you and your children's children shall live. It's all about choices. Isaiah 26 and 3 say, I'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in the Lord. Psalms 27 and 14 said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Proverbs 14 and 12 say, there is a way. Dr. Smith, Dr. Roth, there is a way, choir, that orchestra that seems right unto a man, but Dr. Patterson, the end thereof are the ways of death. Joshua 24 and 15 say, choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether the gods that your father served on the other side of the river. But as for me and my house, as for me and Sister Joshua and Joshua Jr. and Joshua Rhett, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then finally, Galatians 2 and 20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live, the choices that I now make, I make and live by the Son of God, who not only loved me, but he gave himself for me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about choices, because every choice you make in life leads to a consequence. Listen to me well. Every choice, every decision you make in life leads to a consequence. And that consequence can either be a blessing or it can be a burden. Heard the story of Pastor Turner of this barber who was cutting this guy's hair. He was cutting this guy's hair. He saw this little kid about to come into the barber shop. He told the guy whose hair he was cutting, he said, man,
See this little kid coming here? That's the dumbest kid in the world. So what do you mean? Say, watch this. That's the dumbest kid. So little kid came in and said, hey, Mr. Barber. Say, hey, young man, how you doing? Say, I'm fine. He said, come here, kid. And the barber put two quarters in one hand, and he put a dollar bill in the other hand. He said, okay, kid, which one you want? And Dr. Sister Patterson and the boy took the two quarters and ran out of the barbershop. The barber looked at his cousin and said, see, I told you, that's the dumbest kid in the world. Dr. Patterson, he said, he come into the barbershop every week. And every week I put two quarters in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand. And I asked him, which one? And every week he takes the two quarters. That is the dumbest kid I've ever seen in my life. And so the guy got his hair cut. And after he got his hair cut, he went outside. And he noticed the little kid coming out of an ice cream store across the street from the barbershop. And a guy called and said, kid, come here, come here. I said, yes, sir. He said, I just saw you in the barber. He said, yeah, I saw you getting your hair cut. And he said, the barber tells me that every week you comes into this barbershop. He said, sometimes twice a week. He said, yes, sir, that's true. And he said, every time you come in the barbershop, he puts two quarters in one hand and a dollar bill in the other hand. He said, yes, sir, that's true, licking on his ice cream cone. And he said, young man, don't you realize that that a dollar bill is more than two quarters? Don't you understand that? The boy looked at the older man, licked on his ice cream cone one more time. And he said, sir, the day I take the dollar, the game is over. The day I take the dollar, the day I like ice cream cone. So I always make the right choice. It's all about choices. Because every choice leads to a consequence. Think about it. I wonder if Adam and Eve would have made the same choice if they knew the consequence. Wonder if Noah would have made the same choice if he knew the consequences. Wonder if David, a man after God's own heart, apple of God's own eye, would have made the same choice if he'd known the consequences. Wonder if Judas, one of the hand-picked 12, you follow me, would have known in just a few hours later he would have hung himself. He'd have known the consequences. Not only those in the Bible. What about some folk we know about in this society? I wonder if Michael Jackson, one of the greatest entertainers that ever lived, would have made the same choice if he would have known the consequences. Wonder if Tiger Woods, Lord have mercy, y'all pray for Tiger, would have made some of the same choices if he would have known the consequences. I wonder if Lil Wayne or R. Kelly, T.I. and Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, oops, I did it again, the Kardashian sisters, I wonder if they would have made the same choices if they would have known the consequences. I wonder if Whitney Houston would have made the same choice if she would have known the consequences. But brothers and sisters, not only those in the Bible, not only those in entertainment, what about those of us in this chapel? If you'd have known the consequences, would you still have dated that married man? Would you still have dated that married woman? Would you still have gotten involved in that relationship that was not good? Would you still have lied? Would you still have stolen? Would you still have committed fornication, committed adultery? Would you still have drank that wine, or snorted that coke? Or would you still have played church? Would you still be living a lie if you knew your parents would find out? You knew your kids would find out. If you knew what your friend, if you knew your church would find out. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, the importance of having a renewed mind. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. Now I've got to close out. Thank you, Dr. Patterson, for letting me be in here. There's one more thing. I'll give you the bones. Preachers, you can put the meat on it later. A renewed mind should help you think about your Christ. A renewed mind should help you think about your choices. But finally, a renewed mind should help you think about the cross. A renewed mind should help you think about the cross. Look at verse 8 as we come to a close. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, in a few weeks, we're about to talk about the resurrection. But you can't talk about the resurrection until you talk about the cross. Because it's there at the cross that Jesus did what he did for you and for me. His suffering
should help you think about the cross. His pain should help you think about the cross. His agony should help you think about the cross. The nails in his hands, the nails in his feet should help you think about the cross. The spear in his side should help you think about the cross. The crown of thorns on his head should help you think about the cross. The seven sayings that he cried from the cross. The first of me, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, should help you think about the cross. The second cry, as he looked at the thief on his right and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, should help you think about the cross. That third cry, as he looked at his beloved mother Mary, his beloved disciple John, and said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother, should help you think about the cross. That fourth cry from the cross, Eli, Eli, when the S-U-N refused to shine because the S-O-N was taking on the sins of the world, and Jesus cried from the cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why, God, why hast thou forsaken me? That fifth cry from the cross, I thirst. That sixth cry from the cross, it's finished. That seventh cry from the cross, Father, Daddy, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he died. He died. He died for you and for me. But thank God, that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. All power in his hand. Dead, where is thy sting? Where is thy victory? Oh, brothers and sisters, it was all possible, Pastor Turner, because of what Jesus did on the cross. That old rugged cross on a hill called Golgotha. That's why our minds should be renewed, so we can walk right, so we can talk right, so we can live right, so we can pray right, so we can preach right, so we can teach right, so that we can pull this thing off called victorious Christian living. Brothers and sisters, I beg with you, I plead with you, I urge you that every one of us should make it a daily habit to have our minds to be renewed. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you can think about your Christ, your choices, and your cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart, that passing roll the way. Southwestern, it was there by faith. I received my sight. Now I'm happy all today. God bless you. May God keep you. Thank you all for letting me be.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you want more information on our academic programs, or if you would like to support our mission, visit www.swbts.edu.